Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, if you've followed our coverage of the Competition Commission recently and its increasing focus on public interest provisions in merger control, you'll know that the Commission has been flexing its regulatory muscles. But this next case, the Competition Appeal Court's decision in Lewis versus Pepco and ShopRite, shifts the focus. It's less about public interest and more about process and how far competitors can go when trying to intervene in a merger. Well, to unpack the implications of the Competition Appeal Court's recent ruling, I'm joined by Richard Bryce, partner at leading law firm Bowmans, who's written a very sharp analysis on what this means for merger proceedings and third-party interventions under the Competition Act. Richard, let's just start at the beginning, and great to have you on the show. There was clearly a lot at stake in this case for some big listed names in what is a highly competitive retail sector. Could you just briefly outline the proposed Pepco ShopRite furniture business merger and why Lewis, as a competitor, wanted to intervene in the first place?
Thanks very much, Michael, and hello to your listeners. It certainly is a very interesting matter, Michael. You know, as you rightly point out, these are big names in a very interesting sector for us in our economy as well. Now, in this particular transaction, it involved the proposed acquisition of Pepco of the furniture business of ShopRite. So interestingly, as some of your listeners might be aware, this is a transaction that was categorized as a large merger. And what that effectively means is the parties have to notify it to the Competition Commission, who is charged under the Competition Act to consider the transaction's effect on competition and public interest, as you mentioned earlier. And then it issues what is referred to as a recommendation, which then goes on to the tribunal, who then has to issue a decision in respect of the transaction. And of course, that decision can take many forms. It could be a prohibition, it could be an approval, it could be a conditional approval. So this transaction was notified to the Commission, interestingly, in about September 2024, from what I can see on the Commission's website, with the Commission issuing its decision around the Commission issuing its recommendation around mid-April this year. And it's about that time then Lewis enters the picture to approach the tribunal to intervene in the tribunal's consideration of this merger. So interestingly, when the commission recommended in its recommendation, the commission recommends that the merger be approved subject to public interest conditions relating to employment and procurement from local furniture suppliers, but it didn't seem to consider there to be any competition concerns. However, Lewis's intervention was on the basis that it disagreed entirely with the competitive analysis by the Competition Commission, and it considered that by virtue of it being a competitor to Pepco and ShopRite and their furniture businesses, it was in a unique position to provide evidence and insights to the tribunal in its consideration of the transaction.
Right. So, you know, on the face of it, you know, it sounds like a case of a competitor saying, hang on, we think this deal's anti-competitive. We're close to the sector. We want to intervene and put our side forward. But it does seem the court thought otherwise. The Competition Tribunal initially allowed Lewis quite extensive rights, as I see it.
Yes.
Full discovery, cross-examination, even participation in the pre-hearings. But the appeal court has now set that aside. What was the fundamental legal reasoning behind the appeal court's decision to clip those intervention rights so firmly?
Well, when you look at the appeal court's decision, you know, it highlights a few key aspects. You know, one of it being, and I think taking a step back, is it emphasizes in many parts the role and functions of the commission as well as the tribunal. So it highlights that, you know, the tribunal is a decision maker that has extensive powers under the Act that includes, for example, being able to call upon a party to provide information. It can also direct the commission supplement its investigation if, for example, it sees that there are gaps in its investigation that needs to be addressed. So it reminds us of the role and functions of these important bodies. And what the CAC goes on to highlight for us is that the role in considering an intervention application must come down to looking at what is it that a potential intervener is going to be bringing to the table that the tribunal could not otherwise procure. for, by way of example, calling upon that party to just provide evidence in the ordinary course as part of the merger proceeding. And in addition, balancing that potential intervention against the risk and the complexity that any intervention brings to a merger hearing. You and your listeners might be well aware of how sometimes these interventions can go on for a few months or add on a few months to a complex deal. And so it's really that important exercise that needs to be considered. And the CAC seemed to come out that the tribunal didn't consider those aspects or fail to exercise its discretion judicially in managing that balance and in assessing to what extent Lewis would be able to bring to the table something, should I say, unique that it could not get, for example, from the commission.
It's so important because, you know, I mean, if we just zoom out and we to look at what often trips up a successful transaction, it's when you extend it for periods through this through any process, but through this in what you called in your article, Stalingrad tactics, it can really have a very negative impact on those parties who wanted to merge. And it does sound, and what you were saying, like the court was drawing a line between a legitimate contribution to the inquiry and what you call the Stalingrad tactics and delaying and obstructing. When you look at it, one of the themes that emerge here is also, I think, the court's reaffirmation of the Competition Commission's role as the primary investigator and the guardian of the public interest. Why is it so important that the commission's mandate isn't displaced by private interests here?
I think it's to the point you just highlighted, that kind of Stalingrad tactics that one would see playing out that would frustrate deal making. You know, ideally, you come before the commission, you provide it with the information available to you as merging parties. It goes out to the market and gathers further information and will come together and piece together a picture that is hopefully an independent, objective picture that can then facilitate the review process and importantly, deliver on the outcomes under the Competition Act from a competition and public interest perspective. And of course, a third-party intervener may not have that full consideration. It may be pursuing a particular commercial interest. And I think that's why it's important that this decision reiterates the important role of the commission. I think, you know, related to that, Michael, is certainly the role that parties can play in the review process in trying to equip the commission with, you know, the necessary tools, especially on large complex transactions, so that the commission is well positioned to understand difficult markets and to also address concerns that third parties might raise during the course of a merger review process.
And that's a really delicate balance, because you want to ensure procedural fairness without turning every merger hearing into a full-blown trial. And the CAC made that important point about evidence, that yes, an intervener must bring something that's concrete, something that's non-speculative, as it's called, evidence. So if you're a competitor, you can't simply say, well, we know this market better, or we've got insights. What would the commission need? Would they need something that they couldn't access, like, I don't know, internal data or market analysis? What would actually meet that bar in practical terms?
So I think, well, it would move from matter to matter, you know, so it would right. depend on the particular intervener, where they're coming in from. It might be that they occupy, for example, a particular position in the market, or that as part of the review process, they may have made submissions to the commission that the commission itself didn't consider, at least in the perspective of the intervener, the potential intervener, appropriately, and it might be able to address that before the tribunal better. So I think it would really vary from transaction to transaction, Michael.
To be honest with you, in the Lafarge-Afrimat deal recently, Andries van Heerden bemoaned the time that it took in a very high-stakes environment where timing can make or break the commercials of a transaction, the time it took to get the deal through the competition process. And I'm aware that there were certain vexatious litigants in that process. So if you were to look at the lessons that we can draw for businesses and for legal practitioners, and this is what you kind of dine out on, this kind of precedent, for merging parties, it must come as a relief because they're often wary of competitors using the process to pry into confidential information. What are the practical lessons that you think this judgment sends to companies on both sides of the fence?
So I think it certainly reiterates, as we've discussed, you know, the role and functions of these important bodies, the commission and the tribunal, and that the tribunal really needs to take a very balanced and, I want to say, possibly a cautious approach when it considers whether or not to admit a potential intervener, because it must also consider, as we discussed, whether that information or the value an intervener may bring to the table can be gathered elsewhere and also more expeditiously. And so what does that mean for your potential intervener is that they really need to give thought to what it is specifically that they're planning on intervening on, what evidence, and by evidence, you know, it can't be vague or their views, but it must be based and substantiated on data, for example, that they can bring to the table that will not necessarily address their own commercial interests, but rather assist the tribunal in its assessment of the transaction. And of course, going back to merging parties, importantly, and as you rightly point out, you know, the impact that these interventions have on transaction timetables is to consider in advance potential interveners and the concerns that they may raise and try to address these concerns as part of the merger review process so as to try to mitigate against potential intervention down the line. I also think it's a helpful decision because it does show us that if need be, merging parties can push back against these very large interventions by interveners and can be successful in that pushback.
Do you think as well that there could be a middle path here? Because the judgment does mention the tribunal's inquisitorial powers, the ability to summon evidence or direct the commission to gather more information or evidence. Do you think that might serve as a middle ground between full intervention and no participation at all?
I certainly do think it will. You know, it will be a case of balancing these different aspects or routes of information gathering. You know, the decision refers at certain points or references the truth-seeking function of the tribunal. And so really, it will be a case of balancing the time that comes with letting in an intervener versus, for example, directing that the commission go on and supplement its investigation record, or it might be a case of, as you point out, a combination of the two, is narrowing the grounds upon which a third-party intervener comes in and the basis on which it can make submissions, and at the same time asking the commission to look at specific aspects that the tribunal considers necessary for it to properly consider a merger.
Well, fascinating stuff, and certainly a reminder that our competition system isn't just about who wins or loses, but how those decisions are actually made. That was Richard Bryce, partner at Bowman's, helping us unpack the Competition Appeal Court's decision in Lewis versus Pepkor and ShopRite and what it signals for the limits of intervention in merger controls going forward. You're listening to Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.